You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and Paddy Aspel here to look ahead to four races on Monday. And you can listen to all of the action live on Racing Radio in company with Mark Walton, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell on Monday afternoon, guiding you through all of the meetings. But as mentioned, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast today is Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
Yeah, fine, thanks, mate.
Good stuff. Enjoy the racing over the course of the weekend. It was a busy old Saturday yesterday.
Yeah, very busy Saturday it was. Some decent stuff, to be honest. Some good performances and also some disappointing performances. But on the whole, yeah, I enjoyed it and it was fairly decent stuff.
Yeah, there was a couple of decent performances at Newbury in particular. I was quite taken by Massart and a pretty good training performance as well from Owen Burrows, it has to be said, to come back off that kind of layoff and win a Group 2 on seasonal reappearance. And it was a good horse as a three-year-old, though.
Yeah, very high-class horse. Lovely, proper, typical sort of Hamdam sort of in-mid, you know, big, strong type. Yeah. But yeah, he's obviously got his issues too, hasn't he? And
yes.
You know, he's a big old unit, so he's hard to keep right, but there's no doubt, because when we spoke to Ken yesterday, he said how well he looked. He said he looked absolutely fantastic and that he really thought that he'd come forward from his most recent run. And, you know, he looked in a completely different horse, to be honest. And he proved right because, you know, fitness on the day was no problem and he ran well. And he was a very comfortable winner in the end.
Mm. And Defoe's another eye catcher as well, who's entered the minds of many for the St. Ledger. We went 9-1 about Defoe for the St. Ledger. That was gobbled up within the space of an hour, and is now 7-1 Defoe. And it's an open looking race, the final classic of the season.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, obviously Defoe, softer ground the better, seems to suit him. And he's a horse who, once he's been a slow burner, but I remember the first day I seen him win his maiden. I think it was Foss Lass, he won his maiden, and I mean, God, it looked laboured and didn't just look pretty run-the-mill and average stuff. So he's gone from strength to strength. Mm. But, yeah, the ground is a key to this horse. And, you know, I mean, on top of the ground, it's hard to gauge his ability because he doesn't seem as comfortable on that. But certainly when there's a bit of dig there, he travelled much better and he's a high-class horse. And even yesterday, you know, I mean, there was a steward's inquiry there because even right at the business end, when a horse is supposed to be under maximum pressure, he's still got the time to roll around. And, and so maybe you think that there's always a little bit left there. So that it's always encouraging as long as he doesn't do anything that's going to put him in jeopardy of losing a big pot one day, you know?
Yeah. He might just get conditions to suit as well, given the rain that's been about recently. Mm. You wouldn't rule out soft being in the description.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, obviously, we've just seen Ajman Princess win as well for Roger Verry in Group 1 over in France there as well. So the team are fitting and healthy and they're in good order. So it's all systems go now.
Indeed. Just before we move on to Monday's racing then, Paddy, I've got to ask you about the Davy Russell incident. Something I haven't really seen. What did you make of it?
Nothing really, to be honest.
No.
I mean, look, yeah. It
people are obviously going to be angry and upset, though, by the sort of nature of it.
Yeah, but what people have got to understand is, you know, on these busy days, you know, we deal with horses day in, day
yes,
out. And,
yes.
And horses, the bulk of them are, what's the word I'm going to use? Not as clever as you'd like.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we earn our living from them. You've got to have great respect for them.
Yes.
You know, I earn my living from them and whatnot. So you've got respect. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're animals. And they're not as clever, the bunch of them, as maybe what people would think. And on a busy day when a jockey's got an awful lot of rides, you've seen what the horse has done.
Mm.
He's been big and numb-headed going down to the to the practice jump to show him, Davy did, to give him a look. He wouldn't pull up. He's nearly falling out over
yes.
it. Yeah, it was a off the cuff sort of. It was an instant reaction.
Bit of a rush of blood.
Yeah, a rush of blood. And I mean, look, yeah, it's been caught on camera there. It's not ideal, but I'm sure Davy's fist is an awful lot sore than the back of the horse's head, let's put it this way. But yeah, in an ideal world, look, Davey be thinking, oh god, you know, I could really could have done without that being spotted. I've just lost my temper there for 1 second, but
yes.
I'm sure it won't have affected the horse's performance. And like I've said, his fist, he'll have had a sore fist rather than a horse having concussion by, you know, 600 kilo animal getting a tap on the back of the head. But look, these things get flagged up. I mean, if Davey was to pull up at the hurdle and pat him for 5 minutes, people wouldn't be saying how fantastic that was.
Yes. You know,
it's one of them things. It's something and nothing, but yeah, it's been caught on camera, so people want to talk about it.
A little bit of a holiday to come, do you think, for Davey? Or?
Well, you know, up until the reaction, no, there wouldn't have been. But now...
I don't think people really sort of clocked it until almost the day after when it started to break on social media.
That's
The stewards at Tremor on the night weren't made aware of it.
No, exactly. And obviously, you know, it's social media just sort of drum these things up and just put a bit of fuel on the fire. So maybe the Turf Club's hand is going to be forced to be seen to take some action. But without maybe the social media outrage, it wouldn't have gone any further.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Good to get a jockey's view on that incident, definitely. Let's move on to Monday's action now then. We start at Lingfield with their 4 o'clock, which is a filly's handicap over 7 furlongs, racing on the turf at Lingfield for this one. Just filled a 5 down to contest this one, but a half-decent pot on offer for Lingfield on a Monday, 12.5 grand to the winner, Paddy, and the quintet that have lined up for it, they're not a bad bunch.
No, not at all. And, you know, like you said, Sammy, for a Monday at Lingfield on the grass, certainly it's a decent pot, and unfortunately we've not got a massive numbers, but we're certainly not lacking on quality, to be honest. But I mean, it's difficult to get away from Harbour, to be honest, because she is, well, the handicappers had a say first of all for that last win. But I mean, she's won her last three, she's going for, you know, a 4-timer now, which is phenomenal really. But the handicapper gave her £9 for that latest Yarmouth win, but I think it was warranted because it was such a taken performance. So you've got to look at it from that angle as well. But as I mentioned, she has won her last three. I mean, on her first two runs, when she made her debut last year and her second run, you know, she really cut very little ice, to be honest, and actually unseated on her second one, albeit she was promising to show a bit more on that time. But first time showed only a modicum of ability, you say, on seated rider second time, so that was it to put her away for the year. But it's been all systems go this year, and she's really hit the ground running. And like I said, he's going for the 4-timer tomorrow. It's actually the first time that Ryan Moore is actually going to ride her. But she's up to a mark of 83, and Connections have actually found her same-sex handicap with a great prize on offer. So it's a great bit of placing, and obviously she's got to come forward again, but she's a filly really on the improve. Hailed some a great yard in William Haggis's, and as I've said, they really mean business tomorrow because Ryan Moore is on board, and I think she has got a massive chance of getting the 4-timer up.
Harbour then the choice in that 4 o'clock race at Lingfield for William Haggis and Ryan Moore. On to some of the evening's racing now then, and we go to Hexham for a bit of jumping. The 6:30 at Hexham is a class 3 handicap chase over an extended 3 miles. Once again, we've just got 5 runners for this pot. What do you make of them, Paddy?
Yeah, no, this is a tidy little race, actually. Same thing, not a massive amount of runners, but you couldn't really rule any of them out, to be honest. All Cup final at the top has got his fair share of weight, but he has been successful around Hexham in the past, so you've got to, he ticks that box at least. But Fergal O'Brien's got a great strike rate up at Hexham when he does travel. He's 2 from 6 up there, and some placed horses also, so he's got a pretty winning place strike rate up there, and he'll be hoping to keep that going tomorrow with Lovely Job. He's done ever so well, this horse, since they've sent him chasing, and he's up to a mark now of 1.27. But he's had 5 starts over fences. He's won 1 and been placed on 3 of them occasions. I think the trip caught him out last time, dropped him back in trip, because he does stay the 3 mile really well, this horse. And I mean, obviously Hexham is a proper National Hunt stay in track, and he's back up to 3 mile tomorrow. I think a small fielded suit, it's by no means a walkover, because you have got some horses in there that are coming in with some pretty decent recent form, but Lovely Job just seems like a 7-year-old who's on the way up for the Paul and Claire Rooney connections. And hopefully if Paddy Brennan, who we seen get a nasty fall at Southall earlier on, he really did get a crunching fall at the first fence in the straight, but we did see him on his feet afterwards, so maybe it was just a good old sort of kicking and bruising, really. He looked okay, and if he's fit to ride tomorrow, I think he's in for a nice spin on this horse, Lovely Job, because what I've seen him, he certainly is a chaser on the up.
Lovely Job then at Hexham in that 6:30 race. We're off to Windsor then for the final couple on the podcast, and we start with a feature on Monday evening, which is the 6:50. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs. It's a Class 2 event, and we've got a field of 16 down to contest this, and no surprise given that this is the Sprint Series finale. There's plenty of course and distance form on offer, Paddy.
Yeah, plenty of runners here, to be honest, and I mean, it took me a while to have a sort through him, but the one I ended up landing on, Sammy, was Dugan. He's £1 lower than his last run, which, yeah, mightn't seem a lot, but when you've got such fine margins in these types of races, it can make the difference. I mean, it was a good run last time at York in a very strong handicap, and the one thing that sort of jumped out with me tomorrow was, because we've got so many runners and going through the lineup that there seemed to be plenty of early pace featuring in that race tomorrow. And although Dugan does need things to drop right, he's just been hinting at a bit of a revival lately. And generally, when his turn is due, he has been fairly reliable to pop up, Dugan has, to be honest. But that said, it's hard to believe, although he's had a pretty successful career on the artificial surface, he's still actually a maiden on grass. Although he has hit the crossbar a few times, you know, it is hard to believe, but that nonetheless, that's the issue. But he's drawn 10 and off a mark of 92. He's got little margin for error, but I just think the way the race is going to pan out, it's probably slightly calmer waters tomorrow, and it's maybe the best opportunity he's had for a while.
Dugan then for David Evans and Robert Tark gets the pick in that feature race at Windsor. The final race on today's podcast then comes from Windsor as well. This is the 7:20, which is another sprint handicap, 5 furlongs. The trip this time at Class 4 event with 10 runners taking their chance. Your thoughts here, Paddy?
I was going to take a little chance on Roger Varian's horse here. Overall, he has been a disappointed individual, this Mazel. But connections, I'm sure, are getting slightly frustrated with him, and they've applied first time headgear last time, and it certainly did bring about some improvement, I'd have said, but I think the 5 furlongs certainly had him in top gear the bulk of the way, and never really featured in the race. But I think at Windsor tomorrow, he's got just more of a chance to travel and to run into the race. So I think if the track is a bit more up a street tomorrow, same thing applies here as what I spoke about the Dugan race. There seems to be, or there will be, plenty of early pace on offer. And as I've said, if the blinkers can have the same sort of effect and he can travel a bit longer and a bit further into the race, although he is a slightly frustrating character and probably hasn't achieved the levels he should have achieved, I think he's got a cracking good chance to get things back on track tomorrow. But he isn't one for maximum faith, to be honest, because he's disappointed in the past. But I do think that he's got probably one of the, I won't say the easiest opportunities, but the way the race is going to pan out, probably one of his best opportunities tomorrow with the headgear reapplied again tomorrow.
Okay, Paddy taking a chance then with Mazel in that 7:20 race at Windsor. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you would, Paddy, of your 4 selections for the races we picked out on Monday.
Yeah, our first one was for the Willie Haggis Harder at Lingfield, going to rack up the 4-timer on the Ryan Moore. At Hexham, we went for a Lovely Job in that 6:30 race there. He just seems to be a chaser on the improve. Trainer's got a good strike rate at the track. And for me, he'll be much happier back over this trip tomorrow. And then Windsor 650. My selection there was Dugan for Rob Tart and Dave Evans. This horse seems to be just coming to hand now and off a mark at 92. I think he's going to be suited by the early pace in this race, and hopefully things can just fall right for him. And then I did take a little bit of a gamble in the 720 with Mazel for the Roger Varian team. Off a mark of 76. He needs to get his finger out with the blinkers on, this horse, but I do think he's been placed at Brighton in the past, so it shows that he can handle difficult tracks. But, you know, Windsor should be far easier to handle, and he should be happier back over the five there tomorrow. And if he can carry Harry Bentley into the race, I think things could drop right for him also, with another race looking like involving plenty of early pace.
Good stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Paddy Aspel ahead of Monday's racing. Thank you for that, Paddy. Pleasure as always, and enjoy it on Monday.
No worries. William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.